us in 1 Samuel chapter 30, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 3 through 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 3 through 6. The Bible says, when David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. In the King James Version of the Bible, instead of it saying each one was bitter in spirit, it talks about how the people were grieved. And instead of it saying David found strength in the Lord, it says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. I like that encouragement language, and it fuels our title, Encourage Yourself in the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David, that great warrior king, beloved by hundreds of thousands, and his men are on their way back to their residence. Instead of finding happy wives and children who are doing well in school and house clean, refrigerator full, the brethren come home and their houses have been burned to the ground. Their wives and sons and daughters have all been kidnapped. It is a grievous scene. The Bible talks about how all of the men, David and his soldiers, were bitter or grieved in their spirit. But David, being the leader, does not only have grief and bitter spirit, but the A portion of the sixth verse talks about how he was distressed. The word picture behind distressed is being pressed into a small space. There's something about being the leader that has additional pressure and stress that goes with the job. When David saw grief and distress knocking at the door, instead of him just wallowing in distress and grief, the Bible says he strengthened himself, or he encouraged himself in the Lord. Did y'all see that? He didn't go get Jack Daniels. He didn't go dig up his Bobby Blue Bland CDs and Charlie Wilson's records. But he strengthened himself in the Lord. I thought I would tell somebody today, it may appear that the sun is shining on both sides of your street and all is well, all your bills are caught up, you feel pretty spry today, all looks pretty good. Keep on living. and grief and distress are likely to come knocking on your door. And when it comes, you will have to decide what you're gonna do. Will you waddle and have a pity party? Woe am I, so many bad things are happening to me. Or will you learn from David's example how to encourage yourself in the Lord? The thesis for today is that we should overcome grief and distress with encouragement. We should overcome grief and distress with encouragement. So I'm talking about grief now. The men lost not only their houses, but wives and children had been kidnapped. And they felt acute sense of loss. So intense was the feeling that the translators say they were bitter in spirit. Do you know this emotion called grief? Do you know this emotion called bitterness? It is true that many of our children are doing well with their lives. Praise the Lord. But because we are all in this thing together, when any child in the village is not doing well, then our child is not doing well. And so even though our biological children may be doing well, the truth of the matter is, many of the young people of this era are not doing well. And it seems as if we are losing too many. I'm thankful we're not losing them all. I am the product of the public school system. My daughters, the Lord blessed, I could have afforded to put them wherever I wanted to put them, but I wanted to make sure that they grew up understanding the public school system experience, and they're doing well. They graduated, they got their scholarships and going on about their business, praise the Lord. And many of your children are doing well, thank you. But the truth of the matter is, there are way too many children who are not doing well at all. I've shared with you before that children are supposed to be able to read by the time they get out of third grade. And it's important that they really get reading down pat, because from fourth grade on, the teacher assumes the child know how to read. That's why the teacher said, go home and read chapter 3. We're gonna talk about it next week. It's gonna be a quiz on Friday. But if the child don't know how to read, it creates a significant problem. Fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade teachers already have standards and curriculum that they have to cover, and teaching a child how to read is not on their curriculum. And so what happens is the child is oftentimes socially promoted. There's no way in the world you're gonna flunk all of the kids because you got a whole nother crowd of kids coming in. So the class was already overcrowded. If you got another 30, 40 kids coming into this class, ain't no way in the world you can flunk 30 of the students that's supposed to go on. That would leave you with 60 and 70 people in the class. And so you socially promote them on to fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, even though the child can't even read at a third grade level. And it might work all right, especially if the child is an athlete, popular in school and what have you. It'll work all right until it's time to step up to high school. When that kid get to high school and cannot read, don't nobody want to be sitting up in class and be considered the dummy of the class. And so the child drops out of high school. Now, when you look around at this economy of ours, what in the world are you going to do to make $40,000 or $50,000 a year legitimately, and you can't even read? Are y'all listening to me? That it's so important for us to pay attention to what's happening with school, because wherever there is an academic emergency, it will lead to an economic emergency. That child is going to have a problem having gainful employment or a profitable business. The reason you ought to pay attention is because the child wants to eat. Well, how you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you can't get no job? The child want to have $100 sneakers like everybody else. They want to drive the Beamer. They want to bling bling like everybody else. How you do that? And you can't get a decent job. They start doing illegal activity. And the problem with illegal activity is, no matter how smart you are, they always catch you somewhere along the line. And when they catch you, it costs us money. Instead of you paying taxes, we gotta spend taxes on you to warehouse you in jail for decades of your life. Are y'all listening to me? It creates so much trauma in our family that when you see a million men locked up in jail, that's bad all by itself. But it also means there's a million potential husbands that are now ineligible. Nobody in their right mind gonna go marry somebody who is in jail. I said nobody in their right mind is gonna go marry somebody who is in jail. It's enough to make you grieve. And then we live in this time of so much obesity. And I don't know if we know how serious it is for us to keep our health together. The reason why the Health Care Reform Act was so important to especially African Americans is because we are impacted so disproportionately by just about every disease there is. Hypertension, diabetes, cancer, sickle cell anemia, you name it, we got it more than we supposed to have it. And it is oftentimes compounded by us carrying too much weight, this obesity. And the problem is, as children, some of you all recall, children used to like to go outside and play. Y'all remember that? You go outside and you play chase and you race and hide go seek and all that sort of carrying on. Basketball, football, fumbly rumbly, I mean frisbee, whatever you can do, and you beg mama, can I go out and cry when mama said come in? You like to play all day. But these kids ain't playing all day. They running from the refrigerator to the couch to play these devilish video games. And how many of you all know that if you've already put on too much weight as a teenager, and you put on more weight in your 20s, and my Lord, you put on more weight in your 30s. How many of y'all know it's gonna be a hard road to travel when 40s and 50s and my Lord, 60s come along? The reason you ought to pay attention is because the strength that should be used to boost your immune system and help you stay strong, it is weakened. The energy that should be in your immune system is being used up carrying the weight of our bodies. I thought I would bring this to your attention because our children will have a tremendous role to travel. And it ought to be enough to make people who are sensitive to the issues grieve. But if by chance we could provide a quality education for all of our children, help them get gainful employment, profitable businesses, help them get healthy, get their BMI where it's supposed to be, body mass index, all that kind of good stuff. What about their values? I have just about given up on the ideal of a Christian country, Christian America. That's a soap dream. It is too much of a utopian wish that our country would be a Christian country. But can we at least be a civilized country? If we can't be a Christian country, can we at least be a civilized country? Is something uncivilized about us rather warehousing a boy for his life instead of just educating the boy in the early part of his life. When you look at how much it costs us to build a jail, maintain a jail, pay all these guards in the jail, pay all these utilities for the jail, pay the warden of the jail, that whole criminal justice system, all these lawyers and judges getting paid and bailiffs getting paid. When you look at the millions of dollars that we spend putting people behind bars and compare it to how much it would have cost if we just would have gave the child a quality education on the front end, is enough to make us weep. But not only are we tempted to grieve over our children, but many grieve over families. There are people who are sitting by themselves today who 10, 15, 20 years ago thought your wife, your husband, your children would be sitting next to you in church. There are families that have suffered all kinds of trauma that tempts them to grieve. And then there are others who grieve over dreams that have not been deferred, as Langston Hughes suggests, but they've been destroyed. There are people who have had to trash their dreams. They've had to say, I'm just not going to get all of that done in my life. They've had to throw that away, and they are on not plan B or C, they are on plan D, E, F. They don't even know what plan they are on. They've had to throw so many dreams away. They've had to lower the bar of their life so many times that they grieve over how I thought I was going to be further along in my life than I am now. Am I on your street yet? This matter of grieving will come to all of our lives if you keep on living. And if you let grief fester, if you let it simmer, it can turn into a bitter spirit. That not only do you hurt because of what you've lost, but now you're angry because you have lost it. That's what's going on in the text. The men were mad and upset and despondent because of a lost home, lost wife, lost children, but then they got angry about it and began to talk about how we're going to stone David. Are y'all listening to me? And then not only does the text challenge us to think about grief, bitter spirit, but the text challenges us to think about being distressed. The text says of David, verse 6, that he was greatly distressed. The word picture is being pressed into a very narrow place. It's a pressured position. Anybody here know anything about pressure? Anybody here know about feeling like you're being pushed into a narrow space? He was distressed. Now, let me share with you that there's at least three reasons for David to be distressed, and probably three reasons why you feel distressed. First of all, we are all human. What the men went through, David went through. The enemy didn't just come and take the wives and the children of the men and left David's wife and children alone. The enemy came and took all of the wives, all of the children, burned down all of the homes. And so just like the men were grieved, David was grieved. And I don't care what your title may be. I don't care how much responsibility you may have. You are human. Don't let this reverend, doctor, deacon, brother, sister, president stuff go to your head. All of us are just clay pots that God has decided to use. But not only do we have the same grief that others have, but we also have, if you've been placed in leadership, this empathetic spirit. Somehow you feel what your people feel. Somehow when they rejoice, you find yourself rejoicing. And when they weep, you find yourself weeping. And it would be fine if you only had one or two people who always wept at the same time or always rejoiced at the same time. But when God has given you many and their emotional state is all over the map, you can find yourself on an emotional roller coaster that you literally find yourself laughing through tears because the book says, I will give you pastors after my own heart. And this my own heart stuff, this godly heart stuff, can make you feel stuff that you would not have normally felt. Those of you who have children realize that as much sense as it makes to let your child grow up, it is something about a parent's heart that make you feel their pain. You want to step back and let them go, but there's something in the parent's heart that says, I wish it was something I could do to help them from running into that brick wall. The leader not only has the pain that others feel, not only empathetic pain, but oftentimes what leads to the leader's distress is what I call transference anger. Transference anger. People will take out on you what they can't take out on others. Mm-hmm. Look at this text. The men should have been upset with the people of Amalek, because after all, it was Amalek who burned their houses down. It was Amalek who kidnapped their wives, kidnapped their children, but because they could not get at Amalek, they decided to take it out on David. And do you not know that there are people in your life who ain't even studying you? You just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're not angry with you. You just happen to be in the right place at the right time, and you are in the way of transference anger. But when it happens in your life, when grief and distress, whatever their cause may be, come and knock on your door, you will have to make a decision. How will you handle the pain of living? David gives us a marvelous example of encouragement. So I've talked about grief, talked about distress, I'm talking about encouragement now. David decided, as much as I'm in pain about my own loss, and as distressed as I may be about my own men wanting to stone me, David decided, I'm going to encourage, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. And you know, somebody really needs to wake up and hear this point, because you can leave here today on one of two streets. You can leave here having a pity party for yourself, reminding yourself in very vivid detail of how bad your life is, how my baby left me, how my man that left me, my bills are too high, my back hurt, my foot hurt, my this hurt. You can leave here complaining about all that's wrong in your life, or you can choose to be encouraged in the Lord. You can choose that I'm going to look above the grief and the distress of my life. I'm going to look beyond the hills and see where all of my help come from. I'm going to be encouraged, not by what I see, by what I hear, by what I experience, but I'm going to be encouraged by, I believe that God has not brought me this far just to leave me now. You got to make a decision. You can have a pity party for yourself if you choose. You can cuss and fuss like everybody else. You can go ahead on and get your head bad, go and get your jack and get all messed up. You can go and sex it up and try to have sex with everything that got a skirt on, everything that got pants on. You can go gamble it up if you want to and try to get mesmerized by all of the sounding cymbals and all of the bells and whistles of the boat. Or you can go spin yourself in debt and put another $3,000 or $4,000 on your credit card and then drink and get your head back when you see the statement come in and see how much interest you're paying on all this junk that you didn't need in the first place. But when you get finished with all that you tried, you remember the preacher told you, can't nobody do you like the Lord. Now, if I was you, I would save my money and try Jesus now. But there's somebody that got to waste their money and then find out I need Jesus. Somebody got to go get a sexually transmitted disease and then say, oh, I guess I'll try Jesus now. Somebody got to have problems in your life before you try Jesus. But whether you pay now or pay later, you remember the preacher said, can't nobody do you like the Lord. Now, I ought to go on and tell you that you better learn how to encourage yourself. It's true. You ought to come to church and something ought to happen in the early part of the worship experience that lift your spirits. The praise team ought to sing a song that make you feel better. Deacons ought to pray and the prayer ought to make you feel better. The preached word ought to have a lifting impact in your life. But baby, you can't be counting on nobody to sing you up. You can't count on nobody to pray you up. You can't count on nobody to preach you up. You better learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Now listen, this is how we all have to do it. Somehow we got to get our mind past our circumstances and focused on the Lord. Somehow we have to look past the grief and bitter spirit of our life. Somehow we must look past the pressure, the drama, and the distress of our life and see that the same God who brought us this far is still able and willing to take care of his own. Now, you can't always count on people helping you get your mind right. And so, sometimes you gotta steal away all by yourself and remind yourself, self, if the Lord did not love you, you would have been dead and gone a long time ago. Self, if the Lord was going to leave you, he would have left you a long time ago. Sometimes you gotta tell yourself, self, the same God who brought you safe this far, he can be trusted to lead you on. Did you hear me? Sometimes you gotta remind yourself, self, the same God who took care of Israel as they traveled over the Red Sea and the Jordan River. The same God who sent bread down from heaven. He's able and he's willing to take care of you. Did you hear me? Sometimes you gotta remind yourself, self, the same God who fed 5,000 with a schoolboy's lunch. And the same God who raised Lazarus from the dead. And the same God who made the blind to see. That same God around will take care of you. Did you hear me? Sometimes you have to remind yourself, self, into all of our lives, some rain must fall. Just like things look so bad for Jesus on Good Friday, but early Sunday morning he rose with all power. Self, if you can hold on just a few more rising, just a few more setting of yonder sun, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, he's able to make a way out of no way in your life. Did you hear me? I don't know how you do it, but let me share with you how I get mine back on the Lord. Did you hear me? I like to think about the words in the Word. Did you hear me? I like to think about how the Lord is able to do abundantly, exceedingly, over and beyond whatsoever I ask and whatsoever I think. Did you hear me? I like to think about the words in the Word that says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Did you hear me? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters. Yes, my Lord, when I feel down, I look up and remind myself that the Lord is still my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear when the wicked, even my enemies, come upon me to eat of my flesh? Y'all know what happened. They stumble and they fall. Yes, my Lord, when I feel down, I look up and remind myself, self, fret not yourself because of evildoers. They're soon, I wish y'all would help me say soon, soon, y'all, soon cut down. Yes, my Lord, but if by chance the word don't lift my spirit, I'm so glad I can sing a song that'll lift my spirit. Every believer ought to have a song. Yes, my Lord, I said this morning, I'm so thankful for my music staff. Yeah, but it's dangerous to become addicted to hearing an organ, piano and drum in your ear, because there will be some stuff that come in your life on Monday morning, and you can't wait until Sunday morning to sing your song. So you've got to learn how to sing a cappella all by yourself. Did you hear me? I thank God for my choir. They ministered to me today, but it's dangerous to have such a choir. If you become addicted to having a whole choir, you'll lose your mind when trouble comes on Tuesday. And you gotta wait until Sunday to hear a song. You've got to learn how to sing a solo. Did you hear me? Now, I don't know what y'all like to sing, but let me tell you some songs that lift my spirit. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou wert to withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Get you a song. If you don't like that one, try this one. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I love that verse that says, I'm going to see God for myself. I'm going to see God for myself when I'm dying. If that don't work, try this one. Come and go with me to my Father's house. There's peace in my Father's house. There's joy in my Father's house. I gotta leave y'all here, but please y'all, make up in your mind to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can't wait for anybody to preach you up. You can't wait for somebody to sing you up. You can't wait for somebody to pray you up. You got to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And I'm so glad you don't have to wait until Sunday morning. You can feel His presence on a Wednesday and Thursday. You can be in the presence of the Lord all day Friday and all day Saturday. No wonder we ought to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Anybody here got a made up mind to encourage yourself in the Lord? If you made up your mind, let me hear you say yes. Yes, I will be encouraged. I'm not encouraged by what I see. I'm not encouraged by what I hear. I'm not encouraged by what I experience. But I'm encouraged in the Lord. I just believe that the Lord had not brought me this far just to leave me now. I'm encouraged, children. I really believe that all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. I'm encouraged because I believe that serving the Lord sure enough will pay off after a while. Anybody here ever tried my Lord? Let me hear you say yeah. Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he be a friend in a friendless land? Won't he be joy on your journey? Won't he be peace that surpasses all understanding? Ain't he all right? Encourage yourself in the Lord. You can't count on anybody else to shout you up, sing you up, pray you up. You've got to learn how to face grief and distress with your power to encourage yourself in the Lord. You are a Christian. You don't have to just look at your problems. You can look above your problems to the God who gives us strength to endure, to make it another day. If we can make it through the weeping and wailing of the night, there's joy that comes in the morning. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today is a marvelous day to come on over on the Lord's side. If I was you, I'd make this day my day.